B-Pod Studios.
Big Green giveaway, 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 giveaway.
Oh, guess what that means. It's time to try to give away $1,000. Not enough we're giving away tickets to the auto show in Prego. We may have given away $1,000 to you. All you have to do is enter this hour's keyword, which is charge, C-H-A-R-G-E. Enter the keyword charge on the Fanatic app or 97.5fanatic.com by 4:15 p.m. We'll call you if you're randomly selected and you win $1,000. Now, everyone that enters this contest will be qualified for a $10,000 grand prize that we will give out at the end of the contest in February. Complete contest rules are available at 97.5fanatic.com. It's brought to you by TurnersvilleJeep.com, Delaware Valley's fastest growing Jeep dealer. Once again, enter the keyword charge on the Fanatic app or at 97.5fanatic.com by 4:15 p.m. Hour brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Just check them out online at landisbc.com. Popping all over the place today. Still some lingering thoughts on the story on Carson Wentz, and we just had the executive sports editor from Philly Voice, Evan Macy, on to answer some questions on that. So if you have any thoughts on that, we'll take those. And also the Roy Halladay going to the Hall of Fame. It's been very nice. He deserves to go in the Hall of Fame. And the only question I asked is, you know, the circumstances of his death were not your average circumstances. It was heartbreaking. He had a plane crash, and toxicology reports say it may have been influenced by the fact that he had drugs in his system. So, I mean, it's a fair story. It has to include that somewhere, like in the back of the story in a paragraph, maybe. That's all I'm saying.
I want to ask
not,
you.
Not that it's a big deal for his candidacy at all.
No, he deserves to be mm-hmm. in. Now, I want to ask you, because some people have said this on social media, mm-hmm. so I want to give you a chance to respond.
Okay.
What do you say to the people that say talking about it today is disrespectful?
It's not disrespectful. It's a fact. It's not. Like, what's disrespectful about it if it's a fact that was part of the story in the first place?
They're saying because Barry Bonds, for example, if he goes in, you talk about the steroids because he mm-hmm. did the steroids while playing mm-hmm. baseball with McGuire. Pete Rose, if he was to ever go in with the gambling, it's because he mm-hmm. gambled while he was part of baseball. They're saying this part was outside of baseball, so that it's disrespectful to bring it up. I'm just presenting it so that you can answer it so that they can stop tweeting about it.
I mean, when people bring up the circumstances of Jerome Brown's death, is it always that he was a great player, or is it also included that he killed himself with being reckless in a car?
No, people, I heard that when I was
just
a kid.
It's just part of the narrative. It's not trying to take away from anything. It's part of the news story. We can't just erase things that happened. You know, you can't talk about Jerome Brown, write a story about Jerome Brown, and not include the fact that he unfortunately passed away because of a car accident where he was being reckless. It's the same here. It's the total narrative of the story.
Well, and I
not
think
disrespectful.
Like
I don't think it's disrespectful.
Well, yeah. Like we touched on earlier, this subject in particular, especially with these types of substances, it's generally uncomfortable for people to talk about in their personal lives. So when their hero dies of something that's such an uncomfortable thing to deal with, people kind of tend to want to gloss over
and
it.
And they want to rally around their own.
But it makes people uncomfortable in their personal lives, too,
I get it. Listen, I'm not saying...
No, yeah.
Like, this story, it says how they went to the Hall of Fame. I'm not saying it should say Roy Halladay, who dominated pitching for 10 years, but unfortunately died in a plane accident where there were drugs in his system, made the Hall of Fame today. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you write 3/4 of the story, and in the end, Halladay, untimely death, was in an aircraft and blah, 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 and afterwards, toxicology reports said that he had drugs in his system. It's just part of the narrative. It's not at the top. It's not in the middle. It's like at the very end because it's part of the story.
Right. And I still think that with so many people across the country dying from prescription-related deaths, including in the city of Philadelphia, actually, mm-hmm. a large amount, leaving it out, to me, misses an opportunity to help people because no one's immune to this. I wouldn't be immune to this. Mike, you wouldn't be. Natalie, mm-hmm. If there's a chance, if any of us had those substances in our systems and we were driving home from work, Right. We very well could be hurt, and I think people need to recognize that.
And that's a good point, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about purely from a journalistic standpoint, what a narrative in a story should include. I'm not trying to put any lessons down. I'm just saying, hey, it's a fact that this happened. That's all. Tim in Lehigh Valley, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tim.
Good afternoon, sir.
What's up, Tim?
I was just wondering. I'm a big time baseball fan,
mm-hmm.
and I'm hearing all this stuff about these guys going into Hall of Fame, and we're keeping guys like Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds out
mm-hmm.
because of the steroids.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if they find out somebody who's already in there was absolutely on steroids? Let's say Mike Piazza. Do they kick him out?
I would think they would.
Okay, because if not, it's kind of
once you're in, you're in. I don't know. Maybe they can't. Once they accept you, they can't kick you out. But there would always be the whispers.
Well, that's what I mean. I've never heard anybody mention what happens. Mm-hmm. Like for example, the whole list of mm-hmm. guys. What if that ever comes out and they say, okay, we've got 10 guys in the Hall of Fame that were definitely on steroids.
I don't know how that will come out at this point, but I get your point. I get your point.
If you're saying we can't kick them out, then you might as well let the other guys in. Because if not, it's kind of...
Yeah, but you know what's going to happen. Even if somebody's in, if that news comes out, they're really not going to take the candidacy seriously. They're not going to take his bust in the Hall of Fame seriously.
Right, but I mean, it's kind of puzzled me as to what would happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good question.
Okay,
would you like a general knowledge question here, bro? You want to go to the auto show?
Fine.
All right, who did that '90s song that was number one song? So if I go like "My Heart Will Go On" in 1997, who did it?
Oh, I'm not a music guy. I'm a sports guy.
From the movie Titanic.
Okay.
Standing on the edge of the boat looking out at the sea with the wind blowing the hair. No? Sorry.
Celine Dion.
That was Celine Dion.
Celine Dion.
And my former husband, Rene.
Rene.
Yeah.
Celine Dion.
Now deceased, right, Renee?
Yeah, he passed.
He passed. He was much older than her.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
he was.
Mm-hmm.
Josh in Pottstown? No. Is this the Josh? Or is this the other Josh? Who is this?
Mike!
Josh!
Mike, what's up?
What are you doing, Josh?
Mike, I've been watching you on the cable. I don't even need to call you.
You've been watching me on the what?
The cable.
They got cable in Pottstown? Are you kidding me? Come on, brother.
You gotta come see my band play. My band plays out every weekend.
Really? What are you, a metal banger?
No, we're called Middle Class. We won the MGK House Band competition.
Did you? Good for you, man.
Yeah, man, my band's playing out every weekend. We should play your backyard this summer.
Well, maybe we can make that work.
Yeah, man, it's good. That's what I've been doing, Mike, just focusing on music, but... I need to call you about this this Carson Wentz story here.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's true. I think it's obvious that these wide receivers and the running backs are the ones who said it. I mean, I don't think any of them have came out and publicly stuck up mm-hmm. for him. I just think it just makes sense. I mean, when you saw Foles take over the team, all the other guys started getting catches more. The offense flowed a little better. And that makes me also believe that you got to trade Carson Wentz because Patrick Mahomes, Mike, is going to get $200 million. You can't pay Carson Wentz that kind of money. He's been 3 years in the league, no playoffs. He's hurt every year. I think you ride Foles, you call Oakland, you get two first-round picks. That'll give the Eagles three first-rounders. And you build the team up and you ride with Foles. I think that's what you do, Mike.
You know what, Josh? Had Foles gone to the Super Bowl, I may have been in agreement with you. He didn't. He didn't really play that well in the last game. He threw two interceptions in the game before. I think it would be a danger to proceed on with Foles.
Well, do you think it would be a danger to pay Carson Wentz that kind of money?
No, but what you can do is play out this year and then pay him next year. You don't have to pay him right now.
I don't know, Mike. I got this weird feeling in my stomach that Carson Wentz is going to be RG3. And I hope I'm wrong, Mike. Huh? I'm going to be wrong.
We shall see. You got next year to figure it out, bro.
Well, bro, can I get a general knowledge?
You certainly can. Josh, you're the king of general knowledge. You kidding me?
I know, Mike. It's been a while.
Okay. Here is the question.
Sure.
Who was the last leader of the Soviet Union? It's now Russia. And he had a discoloring on his forehead.
Would that be Hitler?
God. He never disappoints.
Man.
Oh.
That's another one of those calls where everything he said was wrong. Well, it happens.
That was Mikhail Gorbachev. Had the, what movie was it where they had him, like, they had a stand-in? It wasn't really Gorbachev, but they made it look like Gorbachev. What movie was that?
Was that one of the Hot Shots movie where they tried to wipe off the mark?
No, I don't think it was.
Oh, you're talking about, when they had stayed in Rocky IV.
Was it Rocky IV?
Rocky IV.
Yeah, it was Rocky IV.
If I could change, and he could change.
That's right.
We could change.
It looked like Gorbachev, and it was a Gorbachev lookalike.
Yeah,
you're
Rocky
supposed to
IV.
Think it was Gorbachev.
Yeah. Because all of a sudden, somehow, Rocky got a perfect tan in Siberia and solved the Cold War all in one fight.
All right. Makeup. Pomegranate. I'm sorry, that's not right.
It's a violation. Come
that's
on,
a
man.
Total violation.
That's a violation.
I apologize. That was a terrible thing to say. Gary in Southampton, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Are you laughing in there, Nat? Don't laugh.
Not laughing.
What? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Gary.
That's all right. How are you?
Good.
Listen, I with great interview with that guy. That was you did a great job. Great job.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wanted to call you. You know, I saw Lefty. I saw Robin Roberts. I saw Roy. But you didn't mention one player, and that was Jim Bunning.
Yeah, I forgot Jim Bunning.
Jim Bunning would, as far as I'm concerned, is number three.
You're probably right. He probably knocks Schilling off.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, he probably does. Yeah, I missed him.
Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, I don't like to.
So it would go Carlton, Roberts, Bunning, right. Halliday, and then it would be Cole Hamels or Schilling. Which would you go with?
I would go with Cole Hamels.
You would go with Cole. Okay.
I'm not a Schilling guy. I just don't like.
Yeah, I know you don't like him, but you know, his numbers would indicate that maybe he's the fifth guy.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what? With Roy's situation, and everything. You know, everybody's saying, "Well, he didn't actually kill anybody." Well, how about if he did? That would have been.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, you know, you can't say, "Well, he didn't kill anybody." He put a lot of people in danger when he got in that plane.
Right. It's like guys coming out of bars. You know, they don't mean to kill anybody, God forbid.
Exactly.
They get in the car and
it's the act of getting in the car that's the crime.
Exactly. And that's the whole thing. It's you're behind a vehicle or something that you can't control.
Correct.
And that's what happens.
All right, man. Would you like General Knowledge's question?
Yeah, now I've gotten the Wall Street right. I'll probably get this.
Well, this is NFL 200-yard gainers.
Ah, there you go.
All right, here we are. Let's go with this one here. In 2015, he ran for 235 yards in a game, and his nickname's the Muscle Hamster.
The Muscle Hamster.
The Muscle Hamster.
Oh, great. I
2015, wasn't that long ago.
No, I know, but the Muscle Hamster?
Muscle Hamster.
Nah, I'm sorry.
It'd be that Doug Martin. Doug Martin.
Boy, running backs come and go quick in this league.
Yes, they do.
The last two you named could be out of the league soon.
Jai and Muscle Hamster.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Alan Gladwin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Al.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Al.
Yeah. I've had the pleasure of living in Philadelphia for 66 years with an Eagles fan since I know what was going on, but I also ranch cattle in a small town in North Dakota.
Oh, look at you, man.
Yeah, I've been doing that for 30 years.
It's an exciting life.
Yeah, it has been. I've been blessed. But I've been able to observe all the folks, in North Dakota. We don't really even need the internet. We use it, but people just talk to each other.
Uh-huh.
And when it comes to Carson's character, all throughout NDSU and even up through today, I mean, he spends an awful lot of time in the off season in North Dakota. He actually fishes off of our, Missouri near our ranch.
Right.
His character is, never been in dispute. That word would have gotten around the state to all of us if it was a bully or any of the other things that have been mentioned in the Philly Voice.
And right.
I just find that when, people don't use sources, that you have to question what they're saying. And when it comes to Carson Wentz, all the folks that I know that know him, I've been in touch with his brother, try and help him out when they first came to Philadelphia. I would question some of the motivations of this particular journalist, and if he didn't have his own ideas of what he'd like to see.
Yeah. No, I get you. And that's why I tried to question the editor and what he went through. Tyrone, I you heard the interview, Al, I guess, right?
Yeah,
all right.
Did.
Now, did you when I asked him about him knowing who the guys were on tape, his answer was kind of vague. Did he say that he identified all the voices on the tapes that he had the sources?
No, I don't believe he did.
No. He kind of danced around that, didn't he?
Right, and there was another thing that Natalie and I both noticed right away, and this is the tough thing now. I text Mike, from time to time. I can change your name in my phone to whatever I want.
Right.
And show somebody and say, I could change your name to Obama and say, look, President Obama texted me.
Uh-huh.
He said he's seen text messages as well. That doesn't hold up anymore. Because when you, with phones like that, unless you know the numbers, it doesn't mean anything to have, just show the text messages. I can have, hey, Natalie, text me something inflammatory. I'll put your name as Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah.
See, editor, Alshon Jeffrey said this.
Yeah.
And he says, I heard the recordings and he could identify some of the guys. And, because do you know from a tape recording the backup, the fourth or fifth wide receiver's voice? That's the part that was was another thing that was a little bit sketchy. And the text message thing I kind of dismissed because unless you know the numbers, it doesn't mean anything anymore with smartphones.
Yeah.
It just doesn't.
Yeah, I thought I think he kind of half-heartedly said that he identified all the voices on tape, but then I didn't really get the impression that it was like he emphatically said that. I think he kind of like danced.
I don't think he was prepared for you to
lean in that hard.
Yeah, I don't think. I think you caught him by surprise when you.
I caught him by surprise.
I do. I think that what he thought you were going to just talk about is the veracity of the content, not how the content was acquired. And each one of those questions were the ones that seemed to trip him up. Like I still don't know why when you said six guys. He never said, yes, I suggested he talk to two more.
Right.
He just said, I accepted that the six guys he had were real.
He's probably a nice guy. He's probably a competent journalist. He's only been an editor for a short period of time.
Right.
And editors, have this patina of instinct that only comes with years and years and years of being editor. And so maybe he was a little overzealous in this.
Well, I doubt he'll ever want to face you on the stand again.
Right.
So. I wouldn't.
Now, people went too far. There were people on social media calling him a joke. I disagree with that.
I think he tried to answer the questions. I thought he was a stand-up guy.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think the story shouldn't have run, and he didn't give me any reason to think, oh, yeah, that story should have ran. But I don't think he's a joke. I think he's a young editor that hopefully will grow from this and have a great career.
All right, so we settled on the Phillies before we go into the break. We settled on Carlton Roberts, Bunning, Halliday, the fifth. You say it should be Hamels.
Yes.
All right. Now I just got the numbers.
Okay.
Cole Hamels, 156 and 114.
That's not great.
3.40 ERA.
Okay.
17 complete games. He's thrown 2,553 innings. He's given up 2,280 hits, 24-15 strikeouts to 7-10 walks.
That was in, that was all Philly's numbers, not or his whole career.
No, his career.
See, that's where I'm saying I can't. I got to take just his Philly's numbers versus Schilling or anybody else's Philly's numbers.
Oh, you went to Philly numbers.
Yeah, that's yeah, because
okay. Schilling, all right. I'll work on those during the break.
You're saying Schilling's better.
Here's Schilling. Well, okay. As far as if you're, you know, Schilling's 216 and 146.
That's incredible.
3.46 ERA.
Yep.
Almost identical to Cole. Mm-hmm. 83 complete games.
Yeah.
To Cole Hamels, 17.
No, he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Kurt Schilling and I. 61 complete games as a Philly.
All right. You can put him ahead of Cole.
3,116 strikeouts to 711 walks to Cole's 2,415 with 710 walks. Schilling statistics blow him away.
Yeah, okay.
I'll look at the Philly statistics.
But I have no issue with that. My okay. I think Kurt Schilling, I know he's your friend. I'm saying personally, I think he's a wretched.
I don't even think he's my friend anymore.
But I think he's a.
We've gone like yeah. Going south.
Right,
but I don't care if he's my friend or not. I'm objectively examining statistics here.
And I'm saying I think he's a wretched human being, but I think he should be in the Hall of Fame. I do. I think he's wretched, but I do think he should be in the Hall of Fame. And I think he does get in the next couple of years.
All right. Sounds good. Take a break. We're coming back. Mike Masnelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
4:31, it's Mike Masanelli Show on 97.5 The Bet. We got special guests. Well, let's get it. Can we get the Twitter poll first? Then we're going to introduce our special guest here. Live on television. First time making a debut. All right, Natalie, let's go with the Twitter poll update brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons.
Over 3,800 votes on this so far, Mike. Is Roy Halladay the best Phillies pitcher that you've personally seen? 76% saying yes, 24% saying no.
All right, there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get the camera on him. Yes, that man you see right there on television, on your screen, is the one and the only. Desde Guayaquil, Ecuador, Vicente.
Hola, ¿cómo está, Mike?
Hola, Vicente.
I just came back on Monday night from 95 degrees weather to minus 10. What the hell?
I don't know. Listen, we've been communicating with you the whole time. You've been in Ecuador. You watched the game in Ecuador. I didn't hear from you on the Monday because you were a little depressed. Little down, but I saw the photos. You had two hermanos or hermanas, two primos.
The whole family.
Memphis,
yes.
Su familia watching the Eagles game.
We were celebrating the Chicago Bears. They lost the game. We were celebrating, drinking our number one Ecuadorian beer, Pilsener.
You brought us the number one Ecuadorian beer, Pilsener.
There
it is. It's a German type of beer.
Mikey, Tyrone, and Natalie.
Oh, look at that.
And you need something to drink it with. Pilsener.
A Pilsener mug.
Yeah.
Now, did you take that back on the plane with you?
Oh, yes.
You carted it right on the plane?
Right, yeah.
You're allowed to bring alcohol from Ecuador?
Well, not really. And they open up the bag, the TSA, and they say, well, we went through your bag. Everything's okay, you know. I'm glad that the bottle beer's pressure didn't break, you know. So
oh,
I was
you
all
slide
up.
TSA little dinero?
No, I didn't bring any good stuff.
you got the beer through. It's impressive.
Yeah, yeah.
Now what was it like watching the game in Ecuador and seeing how it unfolded and the pass that he missed the whole bit?
It was so exciting. First of all, I had to teach my siblings and my nephews and nieces you know,
about football,
American football, mm-hmm. because it's different than the soccer.
Right.
So I explained how the average points, scores, and stuff like that. You know, with the field goal and the touchdown and the kickers and the 2 points advantage and stuff like that. And so they understood sort of, and then they start backing me up. Suddenly, another brother-in-law who lives upstairs from my mother's come downstairs wearing a Chicago Bears hat and start rooting for the Bears. I said, what the heck? You know, so anyway,
What's corporal punishment in Ecuador?
Yeah.
My
nephew said to me, don't worry, we're going to embarrass him.
Uh-huh.
And at the last minute, you know, my nephew Giancarlo was saying, Uncle Vincent, don't worry. He's going to miss the ball. He's going to miss the kick. And sure enough, man, and everything was like, I scream out loud and high-fiving everybody. Uh-huh. And my brother-in-law was like, shame. Get the hell out of here.
You don't have any beer. He ought to be caned in a public square in Guayaquil.
Yeah. Yes, Guayaquil.
Tio Vicente. I love it.
And we watched the other game. You know, unfortunately, mm-hmm. another brother-in-law came over into the picture between the TV and the table where we had the beers and pizzas. And he came to grab a pizza right at the moment that the ball came through the hands of Alshon Jeffrey. And we told him, you bring the bad luck. Get the hell out of here.
Tell me about the pizza in Ecuador. What kind of pizza you got
there? Well, it's Domino's pizza.
Domino's in Ecuador?
It's not good quality. Nothing like our pizzas over here, you know.
What's the delivery time in Ecuador?
Like 10 minutes. They brought two large pieces for $20, you know, so it was nice. And
Ecuadorians try to make pizza over there? What's the story? No Ecuadorians open a shop?
I don't know. Maybe they do. Well, actually, Ecuadorians make the pizza, but I don't really know. I don't care about it.
Sunday,
January 6th, mm-hmm. we celebrated my mother's 84th birthday.
Yes.
So all the family was there, and I was wearing my Eagles hat,
uh-huh.
my Eagles jacket, and my uh-huh. Eagles license plate, number one fan of the Eagles. You know, and I got all sorts of pictures on Facebook and WhatsApp and uh-huh. with the whole family. You know, it was like over 40 people in there in one shot.
That's awesome. I love your family pictures.
Yes.
Thanks for stopping in,
thank
man.
Thank you very much.
You're the best. Vicente from Ecuador. Lo mejor. Live on the air.
La cerveza número uno de Ecuador.
Correcto mundo.
Pilsener. Numero uno cerveza. Thank you, buddy. All right, there he is, Vicente. How about that surprise visit?
Look at that.
On General Knowledge Wednesday.
With presents.
Yes.
Bearing gifts was very nice.
Nice job. He's got the Eagles thing on the whole bit.
He said he was nervous. He sounded
nervous
great.
He's like a radio pro.
I know. Good old Vicente.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. Walter in Mount Carmel. Walter, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Walt?
Hey, Mike. That's a tough act to follow.
Bill Vicente live in
He's
person.
Great. He's fantastic. Jeez.
He's the best.
Mike, two things.
Mm-hmm.
The holiday thing. During your holiday discussion, you brought up Jerome Brown.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken,
killed his nephew.
In the car with him.
Killed his nephew. Yes.
Yeah, so there's these stupid excuses about, a holiday didn't hurt anybody. Well, you know, and you mentioned Jerome Brown. There's that whole argument's right out the window.
Well, that's what people are saying. At least Roy Halladay didn't kill anybody. Jerome Brown put an innocent life.
It does happen.
Listen, I'm not trying to disparage the man's memory. I'm just trying to say
that.
This was a news story, and it was not, you know, hidden. It was a news story that we all read. So if you're writing a story now about Halladay, I would think maybe like two sentences would have to be included in it. I don't know.
Yeah. Such a tragic.
It is. All right. You want General Knox question, bro?
Yeah. Okay. Right,
General Knox question. You get a chance to go to the auto show.
Yeah. All right.
All right. What company bought Instagram for $1 billion in 2012?
These tech questions. Instagram.
What company bought Instagram for $1 billion in 2012?
I don't think
Sorry, that was
Facebook.
Facebook is correct.
Yeah, so all you people out there that say you're boycotting Facebook, see if you can walk away from Instagram too. Good luck.
Do Instagram.
Do I do Instagram? Yeah, I do Instagram.
Do you? What do you put on Instagram? You and Crystal do the Instagram thing before the show?
No.
Crystal and Ty watching the game.
I put up some of that, but...
We do our Instagram live every day.
Oh, I'm sure you guys do Instagram live. I'm not included in that. You guys are doing your own little show in
behind the scenes.
We'd love for you to have you. Actually, it'll be on in a minute.
How many times have you called me in there? Do the show?
You come in, but if... Our problem is we like to keep our... Well,
we didn't know if you'd want to come on, honestly.
It's
not that.
Oh, I get it.
It's not that. It's that there's no disharmony. And sometimes during breaks, you have disharmony.
There's no disharmony during breaks. I sit here like a zombie.
All right.
Disharmony. I just sit here.
You want to come on to the... We're doing it in one minute.
I drink some water. I read the Prego jar. Wait for the next segment. I got nothing to do.
All right. Well, we'll do it.
Come in today's 1 minute.
No, now I feel like I invited myself.
All right. So we'll invite you. Tomorrow's third?
I feel like
we'll invite you tomorrow.
Brian Westbrook at my party.
Yeah, he's so upset about that. That kept going. That had legs.
610-632-0975. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
.446, Mike Missanelli's show. Tyrone, you win. You win on Cole Hamels and Curt Schilling is a Philly.
Really?
Yes. Cole has slightly better numbers as a Philly than Curt Schilling.
Look at that.
10 years for Cole, 114-90, 3.30 ERA. He pitched 1,930 innings, had 1,844 strikeouts, 492 walks, 14 complete games. Schilling, 9 years... 101-78 with the Phils, 3.35. He only pitched 1,659 innings, a lot of injuries in there. 1,554 strikeouts, so he loses both of those to Cole. And 415 walks, that's better than Cole. But he had 61 complete games as a Philly.
That's
just 101 wins, 61 complete games.
That's insane.
That is really insane.
And a different era, obviously. Mm-hmm. That's going to always keep declining as it gets more specialized. But again, Curt Schilling, I just want to make it clear, should be in the Hall of Fame. I'm actually bothered that he didn't make it. And I say that despising him as a human. And that's the tough part, like whether it's the Roy Halladay thing that we've been talking about today or Bonds and all that. I think that's a tough thing where you have to separate sometimes the player from the person. And that's not easy to do. And I don't know where that line really is because, like, I really despise Schilling, but I think he should be in the Hall of Fame. And Halladay I really like, but I think that this issue isn't nothing the way people are saying. A lot of people are saying that it's no big deal. I do think it's a big deal, but I also think it should be in the Hall. I think it's a hard line that people are uncomfortable with.
I tweak him every now and then. I tweeted him the other day, and I said, so how's the traffic in San Antonio with that wall?
What did he say?
He didn't respond. Mike in Redding, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
Oh, Mike, how are you doing?
What's going on, Mikey?
Where's all the regulars? Thomas Braw and Dave Holmesburg. I hear them today.
Who did you hear? What?
Dave Holmesburg and Thomas
Braw. The regs, sometimes we got to take some time off from them.
This is a big day. It is. We got to get on that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I want to talk about the Eagles. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on. I missed these parts about Carson Wentz, and I don't really want to talk about the Doc Holliday. I want to talk about the Eagles, and I was thinking about last night laying down. I think that we might be the like how the Phillies were in from 08 or 07 to 11. I think we're the class of the NFC now.
Right now?
I think for the even though this happened this year and these injuries have been so detrimental, if they go out and get like a month, if they load it up back on the defensive line,
maybe sign somebody, you know, get a running back, get a couple of running backs, because that's the biggest problem.
Hold on. Let me stop you here. You're telling me like five things they need, but you're telling me they're the class of the NFC right now?
I still think that they have ahead of the Rams, ahead of the Saints? Ahead of the Saints, yes. I think we're the class of the NFC.
Wow. I don't agree with you. They need significant additions next year before I can consider them the class of their division, much less the NFC.
I still think the way that they ended the season, despite, you know, they had no running game. They had no running backs. And look, they got the two guys that they had the year before. Well, they've got them both in the same season. So, I mean, I think they can. I think it goes general manager, coach, quarterback. And I think we have probably the second best. We have the best quarterbacks in the NFC.
All right, listen, the quarterback I can't argue with. They need a lot of positions, and they've got a lot of decisions to make on guys. So, I don't know. I think it's a little premature.
Who are you taking in the first round? I'm taking Montez Sweat.
That's not a bad guy to take. The defensive line is deep, so you gotta have a couple sweats on the defensive line. All right, here's your general knowledge question: who did that 1990s song that was number one?
All right,
1997, Mo Money, Mo Problems.
That's definitely gonna be Diddy and Mace.
Oh, that's wrong. Sorry. Sorry, bro. That is Notorious.
Yeah.
Let's go to Mike in Blackwood. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
What's going on, guys?
How you doing, Mike?
Oh, good, man. Real quick, I'm just having trouble figuring out why so many people don't believe the story that came out. I think it's because they don't want to believe it.
It's not that they don't believe it. I don't think it's that they don't believe it. I'm sure that the majority of people think that he has been difficult with some in some areas. It's the tenor of the story that he's a problem within the locker room. That's what I think people have a disagreement about. And I agree with those people because the story's not complete enough to come to that conclusion.
Right. I'm a logical thinker. I believe what I see with my two eyes. And I'm not a Foles guy. I'm not a Wentz guy. I'm an Eagles guy. Mm-hmm. Whoever gives them the best shot, you know. Yep. What I saw this year was a team that clearly played to a higher level under a certain guy.
Okay. They didn't do that against the Saints, by the way. But they did it in a small sample again like they did last year. But I agree with you. As soon as he took over, they transformed.
Like the magic you always talked about.
Yes.
Whatever that magic may
exactly.
be. Also, why would... I haven't heard one bad thing on this writer's resume. Why would he all of a sudden now decide to come out and just make up a story? You know what I mean?
What do you mean you haven't heard one bad thing about his resume? He's kind of a part-time writer. He's not a full-time beat writer who covers
the
team.
Right, well, when everybody talks about his work... It's good stuff. Everybody who knows him as a reporter says good
stuff.
That's
not true! I mean, listen, he's a nice guy. I don't know what his reputation is as a journalism that's stellar. I think he's an okay journalist.
Gotcha. All right, that's pretty much all I wanted to say.
All right, you want a general knowledge question?
4-11. I just hope he comes back and does better this year. I'll take it.
All right, here it is. The general knowledge category. Last general knowledge question for the television side. Let's go with this one here. Sherilyn Sarkisian was born in 1946. What is she better known as today? Sherilyn Sarkisian.
1946. That puts her at about 70-something.
She's a singer.
Cher.
That's correct. Her name is Sherilyn Sarkisian.
She's Albanian, right?
Yes.
Is she Albanian?
She is Albanian.
Yeah.
Yes, she is.
I love Cher. She's like, I love her.
And
she looks fantastic today.
Looks great.
She's like 75, isn't she?
Yeah.
And if you look up the ages, her and Sonny. no bueno if that was happening today.
Well, Sonny did.
If, look what? At the ages.
What?
No, there'd been no bueno.
Well, no bueno.
Yeah. Look it up.
Well, Sonny aged.
No, no, no.
What?
Sonny was older than
Sonny
Cher.
Was older than Cher.
Was older than Cher?
No bueno if that was happening today.
Oh, you mean tell me he married her underage?
Yeah.
All right, let's say goodbye to TV. Thanks for watching, everybody. NBC Sports Philly. We're coming back at the 5 o'clock hour.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.